Welcome back to another episode of Reform, Reproduce, and Reconstruct, where we will be talking about what, as Christians, we should believe and teach, the family, reproduction, and how we are to influence and interact with the world around us. I am your host, Jeremy Walker, and on this episode, we are going to be discussing the problem of religious dishonesty, the militant hatred of reproduction, and what a dystopian future looks like for a humanist. Now, I want to remind you that you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can find those links on our website at cr101radio.com and click on Reform, Reproduce, Reconstruct. We also have our YouTube page. You can search for us, CR101 Radio. Now, welcome back, guys. We are going to get started. First subject, religious dishonesty. Second subject, of course, is going to be something that I like to call the wombs of mass destruction, the population bomb. And our third section we're going to be discussing is the humanistic dystopia, which I did not get to last time, which I was quite sad about because it was quite good. Now, religious dishonesty. What does that mean? The first thing about religious dishonesty is you need to remember this, is that everyone is religious. Now, people are going to say that they are not religious. People are going to say, you're a Christian and you're religious, but I'm a secularist, I'm a humanist, I'm a whatever, but I'm not religious. I don't have any religious beliefs at all. I just believe in the truth, or I just believe in reality, or I believe in science, or I believe in logic. I believe in this and that. Now, the problem with that is that's not true. It's completely dishonest. Every single person is religious, even though they don't necessarily say they are religious. Now, we're going to get into that, and I don't want to spend too much time on that because I'm going to explain what that means, and I'm actually going to show it to you based on some of the information here. But I want to remind our listeners, we partner with Western New Radio at westernnewradio.org. Information on there you can find. We have our internet radio station, cr101radio.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and an app which you can tune in anytime you wish to do so. And our other podcast, which is Preschool Pioneers at cr101radio.com/preschoolpioneers, which covers education and talking about how people can get inspired, get equipped, and get involved in education itself. Now, we're going to begin with our major aspect, which I've titled Wombs of Mass Destruction, the Population Bomb. The reason why I call it Wombs of Mass Destruction is because some people seem to believe that if you have children, you're a type of reproductive terrorist of sorts. You're destroying the world through having children. Now, there was a book called The Population Bomb that came out in the 1970s. And Robert Ehrlich, I believe, was the name of the author. And I'm going to be going through and discussing Robert Ehrlich's book because, as Christians, the Bible teaches us that to have a fruitful womb and not be barren is a blessing. And the population bomb tells you the opposite. The responsible person does not have children above two. The even more responsible person would only have one. And then the saint of humanity, the humanistic saint, is the one that has no children and decides not to have children for the sake of humanity and the environment itself. So, I'm not exaggerating when I say that people believe that the wombs of mass destruction, people through their childbearing, is going to destroy the world. You think I'm kidding? Most recently, we just had some of the stuff for global warming, climate change. And there, they were saying the exact same thing. If you want to help the environment, the best thing you can do is limit your reproductive abilities. Limit your children. That's what they were saying. It's the same stuff hasn't stopped from the earliest of days, definitely from this book. Now, The Population Bomb was a very influential book in the 70s, and a lot of things have transpired from it, and I'm going to get into that in a minute. Now, here, let's start here with the very beginning stuff of what is going on. Now, I'm going to start with some of these will be quotes, some are paraphrased, and I'm just going to be discussing this as I go. I want to reveal what a humanist evolutionist believes, because Ehrlich is an evolutionist to the core. He believes in population control. He believes that the world is overpopulated due to people being careless with their reproductive abilities. And, of course, with destroying the environment itself. So he really kind of pits these two things together. So I wouldn't call this a book review, but I want to explain and go over some of the stuff that he has in here, because humanists believe stuff. Reform means changing what we believe, fixing what we believe. Reproduction in the family. Everybody has something to say about reproduction in the family. It is not one of those subjects you can ignore, because you may not want to talk about it, but somebody else is going to talk about it. You may not think that your views are worth sharing. You might think that you're just going to sit back and hold your views, but nobody else is going to influence you, or you're just going to let other people go about their way and you're not going to attempt to influence people. Well, guess what? Other people are not doing that. They are going to influence people. You might sit back and be okay with sitting at home hiding by yourself, but there are people who are going to influence the world if you choose not to do so. See, Christianity at its base is evangelical and a discipleship focus. And that means not only should you believe something and then do it, but then you should also share that with others. That's your responsibility. That's your Christian soldier duties. And if you don't do that, don't be surprised when you're the only one standing around believing what you believe, because you refuse to share your faith. You have refused to share what you believe to be true. These people are unashamed about what they say. I'm going to get into some of this in a second. Completely unashamed. And Christians shouldn't be ashamed of what they believe either. Because if your enemies are not going to be ashamed, if they're not going to be silent, neither should you. Now, it doesn't mean we're militant like they are. And I'll get into how they're militant in a second. But they are absolutely militant, even though we are not. They believe in force and coercion. We do not. But let's go ahead and get into this stuff, because if you are not aware, the world is not sitting back and just moving along itself without influence. Someone is influencing the world, even if you don't want to. Somebody else is doing it. And this book was very influential, The Population Bomb, by Robert Ehrlich. You can pick it up anywhere. It's a decent read. Most of it has to do with him thinking he understands how the world operates. Unlike in the book of Job, when Job was confronted by God and God said, "Where were you when I did this? And where were you when I did that?" And Job had to sit back and say, "I just don't understand how the world operates in its connectivity, in its intricateness. I just don't understand." Basically, mankind is not stupid, but he is severely limited in what he actually understands about how the world actually operates. Now, Ehrlich believes himself to be a scientist, an intellectual, and therefore, his entire book is written with facts and figures and things like this, and therefore, you should listen to him because he is the one that understands the problem and he's going to share it with you. Well, let's go through some things he starts with. First of all, quote, "We must have population control at home, hopefully through a system of incentives and penalties, but by compulsion if voluntary methods fail," unquote. So to start with, the premise is this. We're evolved animals, come from nothing. We've accidentally evolved to where we can reproduce with each other, gotten to the stage where we're at, but now we've allowed it to go wild. Now, let me just pause here for a second, because if you're an evolutionist, why do you care? Why do you care? All the other species that were here before you are gone. Millions and millions and millions and trillions of years, all that's gone. So what would humanity be except a blip on the radar of time and history and evolution and chaos? So what do you care? Why are you writing a book? Why would you even attempt to influence so-called cultural evolution or physical evolution? Why even bother? You're just a blip. You're here for maybe 80 to 100 years, and then you're gone. You're a blip, and if you're a nothing blip, why be worried about it? Stop talking. Just go live your life, be happy, you'll die soon, and nothingness will be here. See, the problem is, that's what they say, but that's not what they believe. See, if you don't understand that we're in a spiritual war, a religious war, then you don't understand what's going on. People don't want to admit it, what side they're on. They may not cognitively even think about it or even be doing so cognitively, but they are. They're trying to influence people for a reason. Not because they really believe that nothingness is what we are and where we're going, but because they want to influence people, because they know that's not true. They know what they're doing is there's a war going on between God and everybody against God, the family of God and the family of Satan. And if you are not on one side, you are on the other, despite what you claim to be or not claim. So he believes population control, you got to have it here in the United States, and you supposedly start with incentives and penalties, but coercing and compulsive methods if necessary. In other words, he doesn't believe that you should have a right to believe what you want. If you don't believe what he believes in absolute compulsion. He believes in rewarding some people for agreeing with him. He believes punishing people with penalties if they don't, and then coercing people involuntarily if they refuse to believe his enlightened attitude towards his thoughts on reproduction and the destruction of the world. Next quote I have here is, quote, population control is the only answer, unquote. See, for him, he believes this wholeheartedly because he, in his mass intellect, understands the problem of the world. He understands it, and he knows how many years we have left. He goes through his book in painstaking abilities to explain how many years we have left before the entire world is gone, how we are just going to continue to breed and breed and breed ourselves into where there's nothing left and we all die of hunger or cannibalism. See, overpopulation is defined by him and by others as not having sufficient food enough to feed a population. See, the problem with this definition is not that it's a wrong definition, except that overpopulation has been going on ever since the dawn of mankind. In fact, R.G. Rushdoony has a book, The Myth of Overpopulation, which we'll be reviewing that and discussing in a different episode. But overpopulation is a good definition, means that when you don't have enough food to feed the people. Well, there's lots of reasons why that's happened, not because they have too many children. A lot of times, especially like in America, when the Indians were here before all of the colonies came over, they had constant cannibalism because they refused to farm. They were more of a people who would go hunting, but hunting was not easy, especially with bows and arrows and things like that. So the problem is with people like this is that it's not having too many people to really fill up physically the world. It's that most of the people are lazy on this planet, or they believe that it's somebody else's job and responsibility to give them their food. So overpopulation in and of itself is not some dystopian future that's going to happen in the future. It's been happening since the beginning when there's been any famines. Right now in this world, there are places that are overpopulated because literally there's no food. People are starving to death. So the problem isn't too many people. The problem is literally we're not producing the food sufficient to feed the people. Now the question is, according to Ehrlich, is that a problem? Can we feed all the people? And the answer is yes. Alva Ehrlich, of course, says no. Now the next part is death control is medicine and life extension. He goes into not only population control, but death control. Death control would be where you're trying to extend man's life. You're trying to heal him. You're trying to make sure people don't die early from sicknesses and taking care of yourself, basically vitamins and all the rest. This was something negative to him because if you're trying to preserve the life of people who get sick, injured, or otherwise, but you're overpopulating, as he says, then this is a bad thing. In other words, according to Ehrlich, let the sick people die. Let them die. Do not try to help them. Do not go into medicines to try to extend life or to make life better. Let people die. That was his thesis. In other words, his thesis is life is not important. The end goal is important, and the person you listen to is Ehrlich or the government. But your life is not important. Let the old people die. Let the sick people die. Let the infants die. That'll help us. The more people who die, the better, according to him. Because evolution is his foundation of thinking, as I've mentioned before. Because he believes that over millions of years, we've desired reproduction in order to thrive and to continue on with our species. This is where he believes we have it. We have a kind of a cultural evolution, not just a physical one. See, Christians is not the same. I mean, Christians are very simple. God made us. God created humans as we are. And then God said, be fruitful and multiply. We have an urge to procreate because God puts that within us. He wants us to procreate. In fact, we wouldn't have nearly as many people if God didn't instill that in us, as it were. Because as people want to have physical pleasures and things like that, it does result from children. So they both go hand in hand. And mankind in general does not have a problem with wanting kids. More kids becomes more responsibility. Especially in our modern age, people shun from responsibility. They view children as the oops child or unplanned pregnancy. They don't want kids. And so it's not the problem that mankind itself wants to have lots of children. It's that God has instilled in them the desire to reproduce. The man's desire for the woman's desire for a man, and the woman's desire for children. I work in childcare. There's so many women that come in and they say, keep me away from the baby room because I'm going to want another one. It is ingrained in women in particular to want more children, to raise children. That's an innate given ability, not evolutionary chaos, as Ehrlich would say. This is something given by God, and because it is a wonderful blessing, is what children are. They are not a mistake. They are not something to be not desired. Children are a wonderful blessing that you should want, and you know it to be true. The woman knows it to be true, which is why they have to say, keep me away from the baby room, because I'm going to want more. Now, a couple other things that we can go into here is that man should act on the assumption that he properly understands population issues. As we mentioned before, he's trying to predict the future. The man believes that he understands them. They're kind of like the shaman and the seers of old who thought they could look at the stars and they could determine everything. And that's what the new scientists are. They're the ones who claim to be able to understand the mysteries of the world, where we came from, and what we need in order to properly survive and thrive in the future. And see, that's kind of the problem, is that the scientists have replaced what we used to call religious seers. And see, this is part of what we're talking about here, about religion cannot be escaped from. Who you believe. Do you believe a person like Ehrlich, who has PhDs, and because he looked at the facts and he thinks he can read the signs for the future, and he's somebody to follow because he's going to tell you how to live successfully in the future? Well, we're now getting into religion at this point. We're going to get into some more on that as well, because maybe you're not satisfied. Maybe you don't think I am telling the truth. But let's continue. The public is considered to be ignorant and need of re-education and by the intellectual elite. In other words, Ehrlich's thesis is that people are stupid. The common person is too dumb to understand all the world's problems. Governments are too dumb. Politicians are too dumb. And the people that everyone needs to listen to is the intellectual elite. And they should guide the world. Does this sound familiar? We're the same thing with our climate change, isn't it? If you're not a climatologist, just make up words as they go. If you're not a climatologist, you can't even speak on it because the science is sound. All of the people agree. All the scientists agree. The scientific community is in unison. No, it's not, but that's what they say. He says, by giving families the right to attempt to determine how many children they want, ignores the issue of how many children society needs. You hear that? That's what Ehrlich believes. He believes that families should not have the right to determine for themselves, even using birth control, even using abortion. Let's take out the concept that you agree with abortion or birth control or you don't. Take that out entirely. Ehrlich is saying that intellectual elite with government powers are the ones who are going to determine what society needs. See, even the families, even individuals, should not get the right to decide for themselves how many children they want. Because, as according to Ehrlich, he's the intellectual elite and they know how many the world needs versus what you want. See, promotion or even forced birth control, vasectomies, hysterectomies, sterilizations, and more, he advocates all of this stuff. He starts with the educational process about trying to convince people why they should do it. But then he's for the promotion of birth control, vasectomies so that men can't have children, hysterectomies to remove the ability from women, and of course, forced sterilizations. Starting, hopefully, with promotion that people do it on their own. But if they don't, well, we can coerce it perfectly okay, according to him. Because he says this, quote, abortion is a highly effective weapon in the armory of population control. See, unquote. Let me read that again real quick. Abortion is a highly effective weapon in the armory of population control. Killing children is a good way to make sure we have proper control over what we want to exist in the world. So basically, developing and getting better and better and better at it makes a better weapon and a better weapon and a better weapon. So who are they at war with? If it's a weapon, if you're having an armory, who is this weapon pointed at? Children, women, families, and who should wield that? According to Ehrlich, eventually, if he had his way, the scientific elite would determine what should be done, and then the government, a strong, powerful government, would come in and use abortion, killing your kids, as a weapon. That sounds crazy, don't it? It's just ridiculous. Just those silly, stupid Christians saying this kind of stuff. Nobody would do that. Well, you don't know your history very well. Even in the Bible, just starting from there for us Christians, the Israelites came into Egypt with Joseph and a time of famine, and they had a time of safety there. Over 400 years, they prospered there with Pharaoh. But then something happened. God gave them a baby boom. Now, what happened? All of a sudden, the powers that be became scared. Why? Because children are also the future. They're a powerful weapon for determining and controlling the future. And according to Pharaoh, that future belonged to the Egyptians. And if the Hebrews decided to revolt or otherwise, they would have the numbers to come in and take over if they felt the inclination to do so. So what weapon did he use against them? Now, first, he tried with the midwives to get rid of them, and then said, once you have your children, cast them to the river and kill them. The Pharaoh, he thought abortion was a very good idea. He just wasn't as sophisticated as us to be able to go in there and kill it while it's still in the womb. He wasn't that advanced yet. But that's what he believed. It was a weapon against children and the future. The control of the future is what they're trying to do. Ehrlich is saying that he wants to be able to manipulate and control the future and dictate what's going to happen. And for him, abortion is that highly effective weapon he would love to use. Next is death control, or life extension, is a major problem without enforcing the population controls first. In other words, it's okay if we use life extension for us people who currently exist, maybe like Ehrlich. But if we're going to do that, we need to start using that powerful weapon over there, which is sterilization, vasectomies, hysterectomies, abortion, birth control. We need to start getting rid of people coming into the world if we're going to extend our lives. In other words, we should be able to live and everybody else should not. That's what he's saying about death control. Quote, perhaps the most workable system would be to reverse the government's present system of encouraging reproduction and replace it with a series of financial rewards and penalties designed to discourage reproduction. In other words, he wants to discourage it. He wants to work in a system of positives and negatives, incentives to do so. Like, give money to those that electively sterilize. If you were a young man and you wanted to get some extra money from your government, well, come on down to the local clinic and let's get you snipped and sterilized, and we'll give you a cash payout for doing so and becoming a good citizen of the humanistic future. They also wanted to go through concepts of Ehrlich's to tax people. If you were going to have less children, you would get tax incentives to having one kid or two at most was his max. You couldn't have more than two because we need to stop the population bomb. And two would just level us out. But his dream would be to have one or even none to bring it drastically down. And not just that, but let's kill off the people that are here too with death control. Don't think for a second that people like this are only advocating killing the young, but killing the old. That's how you bring down this. You stop the people from coming into the world and you kill the ones that are here. But some of the stuff that we want to continue to go into is, quote, no sane society wants to promote larger population size, unquote. No sane society. According to him, the intellectual intelligence people, you would be absolutely utterly insane, a simpleton, a stupid, a moron, idiot, if you would ever want to promote children. How dare you want to grow children? How dare you promote more than two children in a family, if that? You crazy, crazy person. You're insane. This person has no holds bar about his opinions about other people. A person like myself who has 11, who would promote, obviously, on this podcast we do, reproduction, he would say you're insane. This kind of person who has no problem using government coercion and force would love nothing better than to stop people from promoting it as well. Put those people, since they're not sane, put them in an insane asylum where they belong, where they can't spread their insane thoughts to promote people to do things that are clearly insane. See, he wants a powerful government agency called, according to him, the Department of Population and Environment to be developed with the power to do whatever it takes to stop the rise of population and to lower the population to a desired level. So that means simply this. He wants a strong, powerful government agency to come in, obviously under the guidance of an intellectual elite such as himself, to have the power to do whatever it wants to bring down the population to a desired level. Who gets to determine the desired level? Well, obviously the intellectual elite like him. Now, this isn't just about Ehrlich. These people haven't gone anywhere. And if you want to understand the abortion problem in America, you need to pay attention to people like this. This is the real problem. They're not just killing kids because they like to kill kids through abortion. They're doing it because they feel justified and morally correct in doing so. They're the only sane people, and you are the insane people to oppose them. That's what you have to understand about these kinds of people. These people are influential. These books have been around for 50 years. So the things that we're seeing today were influenced by people like Ehrlich a very long time ago. China had a one-child policy for a very long time, and I think still does. Horrible things have happened because these ideas have consequences. See, he believes and wants to develop technology for sex-based genetic technology because he believed that a lot of people want a son. So what we do is we learn how to develop so we can figure out how to either make a son or how to develop so we can find out if it is a son. Now, at this point in time, they didn't have all the sonogram technology we do now, or at least what we believe to be accurate sonogram technology. But according to him, this way you'd let the parents know if it's a son or daughter, and then they could kill off the ones they don't want and keep the ones they do. And this way we would prevent overpopulation because, if after all, if you have two daughters or three daughters, you keep going to get that son. And so what we need to do is we need to be able to see what's in there, kill it off before it's there, and you can get the one you want. This is what he's promoting. This sounds familiar, doesn't it? It does. It's being promoted right now by lots of people. Not only that, it goes further. Through sex education from the youngest of ages, they should be given this education because they want to learn the importance of not having children, how to avoid getting pregnant, and how abortion is a morally good thing to do. This is the basis for sex education that's been going on in our country for the last 50 years, at least. Down through the age of 5 years old in government public schools, they have sex education. I have seen it. I have an entire list I've gotten before of what they do, what they want to teach, and their goals. All the goals that they have. And so this is not something that just some crackpot wrote a book about, and people like myself are just, you know, you shouldn't listen to this guy. This guy isn't really paying attention. Nobody's paying attention to him. Yes, they did. Yes, they are. And people like us need to understand this stuff if we're really going to understand what's happening in the world and what Christians need to be focused on and what we need to be doing. Now, physical and mental healthy society requires these things. He wants basically people to have a sexually fulfilled life, to learn that sexuality is good and doesn't need children. You don't need a child if you're a woman to feel fulfilled. You can just have sexuality instead. And after all, it's a form of recreation. You don't have to have children to go with it. He wants to kind of separate sexual fulfillment and satisfaction from the product of children. In other words, he wants to create his own idea of what this is used for. God would say sexuality is fulfilling, yes, and also comes with a responsibility called children. He wants to separate those two things. He says this, potent forces must be overcome in order to bring about this enlightened future of truly educated and healthy children. In other words, potent forces are those Christians out there. His was all the Catholics. In his book, he was raving against the Catholics because the Catholics had a no birth control, no abortion policy, and he hated it. These are the potent forces. Get rid of all these people and their ideas. Listen to me, the intellectual elite. We are the righteous few. So getting rid of, which means he's going to war against something. What is he warring against? I know at this moment you're trying to figure out why I said religious dishonesty. We're going to get to that in a second. I am so glad I read this book because I've been waiting and waiting. I've been saying it now for over a year or two about this, but religious dishonesty. And let me get to that in a second. Anyways, abortion education is important and children must be taught that children in the womb are not children, but are only potential children. Only then can abortion overcome the conscience of all of humanity. Did you hear that? 50 years ago, they're trying to say that we needed to spearhead the idea that children are not children in the womb. What are we doing? That's exactly what's going on. These ideas have been festering in American culture for a very long time. Why? Because we are the intellectual elite. We are going to teach you the truth about science and not religious fuddy-duddy ideas. Not these religious beliefs that have no basis in science. We know when life begins. We are going to tell you that that's nothing but a clump of cells. This is all the speaking points of everybody who's pro-abortion right now. But he says this needs to be taught as young as, guess what? The youngest of ages, 5. That's exactly what they're teaching to our kids. The abortion movement, sorry, the anti-abortion Christian movement has no prayer, no hope against such honest, deliberate behavior, such dedication. Christians cannot be bothered at all to teach other people anything besides their own kids. But they'll go out to the abortion mills trying at the very last second to convict and prick the conscience of people trying to go murder their babies. They'll hold signs up and say, abortion is murder. They've been taught since 5 years old that that is not a kid. They've been taught since they were 5 years old, all the way supported by every person they know, every teacher they've ever had, every classroom they've sat in, that that is not a child. That's just a clump of cells. It's a zygote. And it is not a person. Therefore, getting rid of that is nothing more than going to the bathroom and flushing when you're done. Nothing different. So Christians need to pay attention to this stuff. These guys here are dedicated. Christians have nothing on them. They're not going down to college campuses or standing outside churches and trying to teach this stuff. They said, we're going to win. We got to go down and get the kids. And Christians are saying, we don't need to get involved in education. We can just sit back here in our churches and we can stay home. We don't need to go over there. We don't need to get involved. We'll just stay here. We'll go outside and hold up signs that say abortion is murder. Well, you go right ahead and do that. What's going to happen is you're going to have the exact same effect you haven't. One person here, one person there, and nobody's saying that's not a wonderful thing. What we're saying is you're missing the boat. These people understand self-consciously their doctrines, their theology is so much better than yours. As Christians, we have to understand this. These people are committed. Why would people be committed if they think that they're cosmic chaos and when they die, there's nothing? Why would they be more committed than you? Well, they're more committed because they're more committed to their God than you are. They're more committed to their cause than you could ever hope to be. But that can be changed. But you have to be able to see it, that they are, how committed these people are. You have to admire their commitment. How can you not? These people get it. I hope Christians do. Now, here's the next part. Criticisms from those that oppose population control is a compliment, according to Ehrlich. Criticisms from those that oppose him, he considered to be a compliment. He's not going to talk to you as a Christian. He's not going to go to your churches. He doesn't care about you. He's going to keep doing what he's doing. He's going to influence as many people as he possibly can. And your criticisms, he's not going to stand out there and defend them against you. He's going to keep teaching and teaching and teaching and keep running against the wall until he gets his way. What do Christians do? They sit back and say, well, let's go argue with the non-Christians. Oh, you crazy person. Stop arguing with people. That's not something the Bible tells us to do. It tells us to go out and teach and disciple. Well, I'm going to defend my faith. While you're sitting there defending yourself against people who really aren't really even arguing with you, they're out there spreading their gospel. They're out there creating disciples and doing it from the age of 5 years old. You want to become a pastor, most guys do. You want to teach adults. These guys are down there teaching kids. Oh, they don't understand enough. I've heard this over the years. Kiddos don't understand anything. I want to teach adults. I want to teach college students. These guys look at you and laugh all day long. They're saying, you're going to what? Good luck teaching somebody I've taught since they were 5 years old, all the way through 18 years old, that all of a sudden they're wrong and they don't know anything. Good luck with that. That's what they're saying. See, that's what we don't understand. He's not going to come out and try to argue with you. Going to college campuses with your little video cameras and arguing with college students about abortion or morality is a waste of time. You want to go there, fine. And you want to present the truth and walk away, fine. But that's not what's going on. You go in there thinking you're going to change somebody's mind. How's that going for you? Not very well. These guys, however, are changing the world. You have to admire it. I think it's terrible, but you still got to admire it. Here's what they say next. We must be relentless in pushing for population control at home and around the world. Ehrlich understands relentless, not giving up. Pushing, 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 never getting discouraged, never caring that nobody's on your side. You hold, in his view, the righteous word. He holds the hope of humanity in his fist, and he is going to hold it high. He is going to keep promoting it and promoting it and promoting it until he gets success. What do Christians do? They show up on Sunday services and sit melancholy through a poorly developed sermon about something about things that don't even affect the world? These guys are out there daily, relentlessly pushing their agendas. Christians could only hope to be inspired by such commitment. Here's another quote, which I found. There's only a few more things here. Quote, a cancer is an uncontrolled multiplication of cells. The population explosion is an uncontrolled multiplication of people, unquote. Cancer is an uncontrollable population. Children are nothing more than a cancer. That's right. Children are nothing more than cancer. They are something to be cut out, removed, a something undesirable clump of cells. That's what they call babies, isn't it? Just a clump of cells? Just a form of cancer that's growing inside of people? So we need to get rid of this. We need to destroy this cancerous problem of reproduction. This guy believes this stuff. He's not ashamed of it. He's open about it. Quote, we must shift our efforts from treatment of the symptoms to the cutting out of the cancer. The operation will demand many apparently brutal, heartless decisions. The pain may be intense, but the disease is so far advanced that only the radical surgery does the patient have a chance of survival. In other words, the world is full of this cancerous thing called life. All this cancerous thing of people. And we need to remove it from our planet if it's going to survive. We do that by destroying life altogether before it comes into the world through sterilization, through birth control. If it so much as takes root in this world, we then cut it out via abortion and destruction of the not human yet inside the womb. If it makes itself into this world, we are going to have a strong, powerful government that will do anything that it needs to do to rid the world of this problem. Brutal tactics if necessary, heartless if need be. But your criticisms are nothing but a compliment to him. He is the righteous one and believes that a war against life and humanity itself is a warranted, justifiable, righteous war. And at the end of the day, he is doing that which is needed, and that which is seen as light and righteousness. See, he went through further, because we're almost done here, this little hopeful eye-opening tip on what people like Ehrlich are capable of promoting. He says, define the proper population size. We got into that earlier. What is the proper population size? What is it that they're, what goals are they going to be reaching for? He said, sufficient space so an individual can be as crowded or as alone as they desire. That means nothing. Sufficient space so an individual can be as crowded or as alone as possible or as desired. That means the intellectual elite are just going to keep killing people, just keep destroying little non-lives and preventing ones from coming into the world until they decide that, well, I think that society now needs this level, according to them. They are the determiners of all of this. And last but not least, here is the kicker. Here is the religious dishonesty I was talking about, and I'm happy to share it with you. Quote, since the roots of our trouble are so largely religious, The remedy must also be essentially religious, whether we call it that or not. Unquote. Let me read that again. Quote, since the roots of our trouble are so largely religious, the remedy must also be essentially religious, whether we call it that or not. Unquote. There you go. Finally, a religiously honest person. He understands the root behind such things, like myself, is a religious root. I believe that God brings life into this world, promotes life, wants us to have life, and does not want us to prevent it. That's what I believe to be the biblical background and foundation for it. Destruction of life, prevention of life, all of it's wrong. The idea that we should save people so they don't die sooner is a good thing. His religious views are quite the opposite. His religious views are an antithesis to that. Preventing life, good. Destroying that which takes root in infants in the womb, good. Killing off people that are already here, good. And it is a religious, foundational belief. Meaning, I believe this. Now, that's everything I got as far as introduction to such a thing as far as the population bomb by Robert Ehrlich. I call this wombs of mass destruction because, according to him, people like myself who believe that we should have more than, we shouldn't prevent children, having 11 children would mean that my wife's womb is not only irresponsible, but is destroying the world. And if I was able to convince people to do such a thing, to have children unrestricted, you are going to be destroying the entire world with the wombs of these women. And according to Ehrlich, this must be stopped by any means necessary. Christians need to pay attention to this. This is important stuff. The family is important. Reproduction is important. And that's why we talk about it here. But that has been the wombs of mass destruction, the population bomb. Pick it up any bookstore or get it on. I think it's on Kindle, but you can pick it up anywhere. We're going to move into our next thing as well. I want to remind people we have a book giveaway, which we do every 2 weeks. You can find that at cr101radio.com. Click on book giveaways. We have a mail program, which every 2 weeks we send out you a mail email letter so you can see all the new content we have and the new books we have available. You can sign up for that on our website, cr101radio.com, and scroll to the bottom and you can see it. Now, last part, and this is the Humanistic Dystopia. It was a podcast that I came across. A dystopia is for natural man, is a world that he has to live where he is not the ultimate authority and where he is not consulted in order to define morality and justice. Now, this podcast that I went through was called Mind Shift, and they did a thing about Christian Reconstruction, and Christian Reconstruction specifically on R.J. Rushdoony. They were abhorred by the idea of Christian Reconstruction. The reason why they are abhorred by such an idea, Christian Reconstruction being that Christians are going to influence the world, that our faith, what we believe, is going to not only affect how we do things, like having children, not restricting your birth rate, but also what we advocate, that we would also go out and advocate other people don't do that as well. If we believe that theft is wrong, that not only would we not steal, we'd also teach others not to steal, and we would vote along the lines of not allowing theft on a civil level. So in other words, whenever you have a socialist come up running for presidential office who wants to steal 70% of the income of certain American citizens, we would look at that and say, that's evil. If you have people who vote all different types of things, but basically if your faith influences the world at all, this is a horrible thing. For them, any concept where Christian morality influences the world, for them is a dystopia. They would never want to live in a world where God's law is the standard of justice and morality in the world. If it's not mankind, it's a dystopia, plain and simple. For them, they have to have complete man-centered control, like Ehrlich. If they don't have that, that is not a world that they want to live in. Education must be controlled by the people that they agree with, like Ehrlich. He wants to control education so he can teach the future. his morality, what he believes to be true. He wants to pass on his faith, and that should be. If anybody is going to pass on their faith and it's in contradiction to his, this is a dystopia to him. So in other words, for Christians who have to live in a world and have been living in a world for over 2,000 years since Christ, that has not been influenced, the vast majority of the time, not influenced at all by Christian values, that's not supposed to be seen as a dystopia. That's supposed to be seen as progress. For them, progress is, as Ehrlich said, getting rid of these ingrained forces who oppose their ideas. This, for them, is a world they wouldn't want to live in, where Christians got to stay at home and educate their children and were not forced and compelled to be in government schools, where they had to be taught evolution. They're being taught at home that ridiculous, stupid idea of creationism, of God. They should be taught that they're chaos and chance, that they're nothing more than evolved creatures that accidentally came together and are now conscious somehow. They should be in Ehrlich's camp, where they are the masters of the world, and anybody else is not something that they want to ever do. See, they were having the idea, the reason why they hated Rushduni and Christian Reconstruction, and by the way, they did a wonderful job on that, I might post a link to that, was that they believed that it wasn't the ending impacts, like God's law becoming the foundation for society, like murderers being put to death and not put in jail, that kind of stuff. They said that the biggest problem were the little things that Christians did. It wasn't that eventually you might get civil government passing laws that were grounded on God's law. The problem was all the little things, all the little freedoms that you had. Because for them, they saw your little tiny freedoms as a way of end goal instituting God's law as the law of the land. And that for them was unthinkable, unfathomable, insane. And for them, they prefer to be dead than live in a world like that. These are the people that say, I will not have this man reign over me, as it says in the Bible. The reason why I'm explaining this is because anything that a Christian does, any Christian influence, even the smallest of Christian influences, is a danger to humanistic man. Any uptick, people are, let's take the abortion since we're on that subject. They want everything to be abolished right now. They're abolitionists, which I agree with. We should abolish abortion. But realistically, right now, that's not going to happen. People have been taught since 5 years old that it's a good thing. You're not going to change their minds today. Get involved in education. We can get abortion abolished. Christians have done it for a long time. Throughout history, even in the Roman world, it was done. So yes, it's doable, but it does take time and is they hate this word, incremental. See, the people who are on the other side have no problems with making little changes, little changes, little changes, little changes. They see that as progress. It doesn't matter how small the progress is. Take any agenda. It doesn't matter what it was. Any agenda. It all came through gradually, slowly, mostly through education, but eventually it got there to where they got to their end goals. They had people like Ehrlich who laid out a plan of what we're going towards and relentlessly pursued it until they got there. See, Christians want that silver bullet. They want everything right now. And that hasn't happened. Christians are winning. It's a upwards and backwards and upwards and backwards and upwards and backwards movement. But if you noticed, since the inception of Christianity, so many evils in the world have been pushed out and are constantly being pushed out and pushed out and pushed out and pushed out. Cannibalism, I mentioned that earlier. That was a common practice throughout the known world. And through Christian influence, it's almost been completely done away with around the world. Human sacrifice, open human sacrifice, was a common pagan activity and has almost entirely been put out. Not entirely, but gotten close to it. See, Christians fail to understand that we don't need a silver bullet. We need to be like Ehrlich, relentless in our pursuit of change, even if it is incremental. And as we do that, we're going to be able to make changes. We will be able to see an influence happen in society. But if we want to get involved in that, we have to get rid of this idea that the small changes are not dangerous. The small changes are not dangerous. Yes, they are. It's the little foxes that spoil the vines. And Christian Reconstruction, according to Mindshift and the host and the guests that were there, that was the most dangerous thing on the planet to them. The small victories. Not that Christians took over the government schools and we had education where we're teaching creationism in the government schools and we had power and control over the government schools. To them, the biggest, scariest thing was that Christians now had the right to educate their own children in their homes as they saw fit within certain guidelines. To them, this was a horrible, terrible thing because now Christians are going to be able to educate their own kids. Now, they don't have control of everybody else's kids, but they do their own. And so now they've lost their influence, these people. They've lost their influence over these children. And then God forbid that people start Christian schools and start influencing other people. Now, that would be unthinkable. So now not only are they teaching their own kids, now they're influencing other people's kids as well. There is a war against Christian schools, if you didn't know it, for this reason. But no, Christians have no idea. These people are relentless in their battle. They are dedicated to their faith, and they have purpose, and they believe in their cause. I could only hope that Christians could do the same. So far, they haven't. Over the last 20 years that I have been a Christian, 20-plus years now, about 22 years, I have seen Christians do nothing except give in, give in, give in. They give their children over to the government schools, and the churches support it. Any simple idea that education should be strictly Christian is balked at, and people not only would laugh at you, they will condemn you and hate you for even speaking such things. Ehrlich loves you. Ehrlich thanks you because his children, your children are now his, and the people like him. Now, every little thing Christians do, and it's not the big stuff, it's not the political stuff. We start with ourselves where Christian Reconstruction is concerned. We want to reconstruct the world. You start with yourself. You start with your kids. You start husband, wife. You start with child. You then start with your business. You start with every little influence you have. You start by also influencing people with your vote if you get an opportunity to do that, yes. You start a school if you can do that. But every little thing counts. The point is that God has a plan. The only question is, what part are you going to play in that plan? Are you going to be on God's side and be pushing, pushing, pushing his kingdom? Or are you going to be giving ground constantly to the enemy and allowing them to attempt to build theirs? There is a war going on, and if you don't pay attention to it, they're still paying attention to you. So, I want to thank everybody for joining me again today. This is, of course, Reform, Reproduce, Construct. This is Jeremy Walker. I hope I've given you something to think about. I know that reading this book has given me something to think about. I've learned that I believe in wombs of mass destruction, according to them. But me, I believe it's wombs of restoration. We should be committed, and I hope that this is going to attempt you to make you think about how you can better be committed yourself, how you can reconstruct your family, and how you can influence the world. Till then, thank you. God bless. Have a great day.